Hello there and welcome to the program. I'm Gary Zimak and it's so great to be with you once again. Come on in, make yourself at home. I plan to be here for the next 30 minutes and I hope you'll be able to join me. This week, we're going to look at the Mass readings for the 16th Sunday in Ordinary Time. The message, and you know what, I think this is, while it can be a difficult and challenging thing to do, it's a great message. The message is recognizing God's presence. How many times do we lose sight of the presence of God? I'm going to say, personally speaking, throughout the day, there are so many times where I completely forget about the Lord's presence. And I know it's idealistic to say we're always going to remember that we are in His presence, but we can work at it. And you know, you're going to hear me at the start of my prayers, and I always do try to pray this way. I'll remind myself, and you too, if you're praying along with me, that we are in the Lord's presence, and that He does see us, and that He does hear us. We might not be able to see Him, we not be able to hear Him audibly, but that doesn't mean that He's not there, and I think we need that reminder. And as we look at these readings for the 16th Sunday in Ordinary Time, at least when I prayed over them and read them, this is what I got. We have that reminder of being aware of the Lord's presence. That's the first part. And the second part is responding and acting as if we are in the presence of the Lord. You know, if you really believe you're with Him, or He's with you, then your words, your thoughts, your actions, they're going to be different than if you forget that He's with you, or you don't recognize at all that the fact that He is with you and that He can see you, He can hear you, right? So that's the message today. I'm so glad you're able to join me. We will begin, as we always do, in prayer. And as we pray, let's remember this. Let's remember the Lord, our Heavenly Father, hears our words, and He will act on them. You know, that's the thing. We are not praying just to make ourselves feel good. I had somebody tell me one time that, well, the reason we pray is to make ourselves feel good and to bring us comfort. No, that's not the reason why we pray. We pray because Jesus tells us, He told us to pray to our Father in heaven. He told us to ask and we will receive. You know, we get hung up sometimes in the fact that we don't get what we want necessarily. Well, when that happens, either the time's not right or we don't need it. But the fact is, God, and we believe this by faith, God hears our requests and He acts on them. You know, He knows what we need even before we ask, but He still wants us to ask. And again, I go back to the teaching of Jesus. Jesus is the one who taught us to pray this way, to ask our Father for what we need. So with that in mind, let's place ourselves intentionally into the presence of God, our Heavenly Father. You know, we don't have to summon Him up. He's with us. We need to summon our own awareness of the fact that He is with us. So let's do that now. Our Heavenly Father can hear us. He can see us. He loves us. He can answer any prayer request that we can present to Him. He's bigger than any of our problems. He is worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our thanksgiving. And when we mess up, it's appropriate to say we're sorry to Him. Again, He hears it, He sees it, and we begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Well, Father, it is great to be with You. I know that little pep talk helped me. It helped me to remember that You are listening to my words. Sometimes I lose sight of that fact when I pray, especially when I'm staring at a computer screen as I record this program. It's very easy to lose sight of Your presence. Very easy to lose sight of the fact that I'm not just doing a radio show, that I'm praying to Almighty God, who just happens to be my Heavenly Father, who created me out of nothing, who has sustained me for all these years. And Father, I'm very grateful for that. Thank You for creating us. Thank You for sustaining us. Thank You for Your willingness to spend time with us as we approach You in prayer. Father, we thank You for the great blessings that You've given to us, starting with the blessing of life. Thank You for sending Jesus into the world to redeem us and to found a church. Thank You for preparing a place for us in heaven. Father, we ask You to, first of all, to give us the grace today to avoid committing any sins. We ask for the grace and the desire to cooperate with that grace. Father, we also ask you to provide for any of our material or spiritual needs this day. We pray for those around the world who are suffering from any number of reasons, from war, terrorism, famine, government oppression, religious persecution, homelessness, poverty, illness, loneliness, grief. Please comfort those who are suffering, Father. Please help those who are struggling to find you, those who have walked away from you, maybe who have left the church, those who don't even know that it's possible to have a relationship with you. Father, we pray for anyone who has asked us to pray for them. We pray for those for whom we promised to pray, maybe we've forgotten about. We pray for our church. We pray for the souls in purgatory. And Father, I ask you for the remainder of this show to pour out your Spirit upon me. Please give me the words so I can deliver your message. And please open up all of our hearts so that we can hear what it is that you have to say and respond in a way that pleases you. And Father, as we always do, we ask these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, who is your Son and who is our Lord, and who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, thank you so much for praying with me. If you're just tuning in, settle in, make yourself comfortable. My name is Gary Zimak. We come to you for 30 minutes each week as we discuss the current week's Sunday Mass readings. This week, we're focusing on the 16th Sunday in Ordinary Time, the theme, Recognizing God's Presence, something that is, can be very challenging. You know, and as I said before the prayer, you don't always have to feel it. More often than not, you're not going to feel His presence. But it's through faith we have a knowledge of God's presence. You know, it's more than a feeling; it's a sure knowledge of His presence. You know, as I record this show, my wife is not in the room with me right now. I record this at home. But I know that she is present, you know, and that's more often than not, that's the way our awareness of God's presence will be. It's not a feeling. Sometimes it is. Sometimes you do get a feeling. But don't let the lack of feeling sway you into believing that He's either not with you, that He's not listening, or that He is not present. All of those things are untrue. God is with us. God sees us. God hears us. God is present. You know, and that's good to remember. Before we get into the readings, I just want to let you know, followingthetruth.com is my website. If you want to find out more about my work, maybe invite me to speak at your parish. Also, my new book, Lord Save Me. It's a book that, it's a series of reflections divided into different categories. It was designed for those of us who need God to be real. We're experiencing some kind of a difficulty, And we need Him to be real. This book is really personal to me. It was written in a somewhat difficult time in my life, a very challenging time. And I wrote all the prayers. I use a lot of biblical reflections or biblical scripture verses, and I reflect upon them. The book is technically due to be released in the first week of August. They always come out a little earlier though, so it is pre-orderable at this point in time. So if you want to pre-order the book, you can do so by going over to followingthetruth.com. And it will be sent to you as soon as it is released. And that's, again, probably going to be either late July or very, very early August when the book is available. So that's very soon. I'll talk more about it as we get closer to the release date. Also, if you haven't signed up for my daily email reflection, you could do so also by going to followingthetruth.com. That is free of charge, incidentally. All righty, so let's get right to it. Let's look at these Mass readings for the 16th Sunday in Ordinary Time. as I always do, I'm going to start with the gospel. A very familiar story in the gospel today, one that I've spoken about often, I've written about it often, and it's one that is frequently used as an example of the need to have both a contemplative and an active life. You know, so we got to do things, but we also have to spend time in prayer and not just run around and do things, even if they're good things, even if they're things for God. We need to acknowledge the fact that we have to have a spiritual relationship with the Lord and acknowledge His presence, even when it doesn't feel like He's with us. The gospel story is from the familiar one of Martha and Mary, and the gospel for this Sunday's Mass is from Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. Jesus entered a village where a woman whose name was Martha welcomed Him. She had a sister named Mary who sat beside the Lord at His feet, listening to Him speak. Martha, burdened with much serving, came to Him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me by myself to do the serving? Tell her to help me." And the Lord said to her in reply, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and worried about many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, and it will not be taken from her." Now, you know, we've all heard the story, and we all can empathize with Martha, who expected Jesus to side with her. You know, it seems logical that He would have. Martha welcomed Jesus into her home. She was doing things for Him. She was serving Him. It's a good thing, right? And it is a good thing. Don't get me wrong. But what went wrong? Well, what went wrong can be seen in the response of Jesus to Martha, because she was anxious and worried about many things. And she was burdened, Luke tells us, with much serving. You see what happened? Martha got so caught up in doing the work, even though it was good work, that she lost sight of the presence of Jesus. And Jesus said, there is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part. The better part. He didn't necessarily say Martha was wrong in serving Him. He said Martha was wrong in forgetting the presence of Jesus in her house. And as I've said, when I've spoken about this, and I've spoken about this passage frequently, Martha welcomed Jesus into her house, but Mary welcomed Jesus into her heart. And I think that's a reminder for all of us. You know, don't ignore the presence of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in your life. They're with you. And spend some time, make it a point to spend some time with them. Believe me, I struggle with this. And I've used this example. I've said this on the show many times. One of my former spiritual directors has told me, "Gary, don't be afraid to waste time with the Lord." Now, that sounds terrible, but what it means is that throughout my full-time ministry, I've been so driven to get work done, to get writing done, to prepare for talks, to do things, to keep doing, to go out and look for more speaking work, you know, to meet book deadlines, to do the daily reflections, to do my Facebook posting, whatever it is. I've been so determined to do that, there have been times that I've neglected my prayer life. And this priest told me, go spend some time with Jesus in adoration. Yes, it might seem like a waste of time to you. Yes, it may seem like nothing is coming from. Same with prayer. You know, how many times do we pray and we feel like, ah, oh, I got things to do, but I'm going to pray. And we lose sight of the importance of prayer. Again, all the time I do it. And there's an old expression, all we can do is pray. And I think that really sums up the way many of us tend to view prayer. Like, well, it's a nice to have, but doing is more important. Again, intellectually, we might not feel this way, but when push comes to shove, that's what often happens. Prayer gets cast to the side so that we can get things done. And it's still hard for me to tear myself away from my work to pray. But I've learned to force myself to do it, believing, choosing to believe, that's a better phrase, choosing to believe that prayer matters. And I think this is really an ongoing process, something we're going to be working at for the rest of our lives, because we're used to depending on our senses. You know, if I can feel something, if I can see it, if I can hear it, then it's real. But prayer, you know, I can't see God. Yes, he can speak to me through scripture, but it's not what I'm used to. I want to hear a person telling me this, right? It takes practice. But I think scripture verses or passages like we're going to read today can help us to give us that reminder. Somebody else told me when I was first getting involved in ministry, and he was somebody that had been in full-time ministry for many years. He said, "Gary, don't just do something, stand there." You know the old expression, "Don't just stand there, do something." Well, sometimes those of us who tend to be a little too active, a little bit too controlling, we need to remind ourselves, don't just do something, even if it's for God. Spend a little time in prayer first. That's why I always start these programs with prayer. I don't want to just get into reading the scriptures. I want to pray for my benefit and for yours as well. I want to make sure you have a good show and that I am delivering the message the Lord wants me to deliver. Let's look at the first reading now, Genesis chapter 18, verses 1 through 10. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the terebinth of Mamre as he sat in the entrance of his tent while the day was growing hot. Looking up, Abraham saw three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he ran from the entrance of the tent to greet them. And bowing to the ground, he said, "Sir, if I may ask you this favor, please do not go on past your servant. Let some water be brought, that you may bathe your feet, and then rest yourselves under the tree. Now that you have come this close to your servant, let me bring you a little food, that you may refresh yourselves, and afterward you may go on your way." The men replied, "Very well. Do as you have said." Abraham hastened into the tent and told Sarah, "Quick, three measures of fine flour, knead it and make rolls." He ran to the herd, picked out a tender, choice steer, and gave it to a servant, who quickly prepared it. Then Abraham got some curds and milk, as well as the steer that had been prepared, and set these before the three men. And he waited on them under the tree while they ate. They asked Abraham, "Where is your wife, Sarah?" He replied, "There in the tent." One of them said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah will then have a son." So we see in this Old Testament reading an example of the Lord appearing to Abraham. And we also see a reference to what many of the church fathers and scripture scholars have viewed as an early manifestation of the Trinity. Because Abraham, this starts by saying the Lord appeared to Abraham, and he saw three men standing nearby. But then he refers to the three men as "Sir." You know, so it's that three in one of the Trinity. It makes sense, doesn't it? Abraham serves God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He recognizes the presence of the Lord. Now, you know, I know you could say, well, Martha was probably recognizing the presence of Jesus. Yeah, she was, but not the presence of Jesus, her Lord and Savior, right? Would you see the difference? Jesus was a friend, but he's also Lord. He was also God. And I think it's safe to say, looking at that gospel, that Martha lost sight of that fact. But Mary, at the other hand, sat at the feet of Jesus, listening to his teaching. You know, sometimes, especially if you're stressed, one of the best things you can do is crack open your Bible, go to a quiet place, maybe go to the Adoration Chapel and pray before the Blessed Sacrament. Just spend a little time with the Lord. You don't even have to read your Bible. Just place yourself in his presence. You know, sometimes I do that. I just place myself in his presence. I'll pray before the Blessed Sacrament. I'll say, "Lord, I just want to be with you." Sometimes I won't even ask for anything. I want to just sit with you, Lord. You know, he wants us to be with him. even more than we want to be with him. You know, we think sometimes like, well, we need him. Well, we do. But he doesn't technically need us, but he desires us to spend time with him. So when we go to visit him, when we spend time with him in prayer, it's not necessarily only that we can get something out of it. Because if we really love the Lord, right, what love is two ways. When you love, you want to do something good for the person you love, even if you don't get anything in return. That's the important thing for us to remember, to recognize the presence of the Lord, even when we don't see him. You know, Martha saw Jesus, the man, but somehow Mary saw Jesus, the Lord. A definite lesson for us. The responsorial psalm, Psalm 15, he who does justice will live in the presence of the Lord. See that? He who does justice will live in the presence of the Lord. One who walks blamelessly and does justice, who thinks the truth in his heart and slanders not with his tongue, who harms not his fellow man nor takes a reproach against his neighbor, by whom the reprobate is despised while he honors those who fear the Lord, who lends not his money at usury and accepts no bribe against the innocent. One who does these things shall never be disturbed. He who does justice will live in the presence of the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean if you don't do the right thing, if you commit evil, if you sin, that God won't be with you. He'll be with you. But I think the point of all these readings is if we recognize that we are in God's presence and that he is with us, we're going to act differently. We're going to think differently. We're going to step aside from running around and sit and spend a little time with him like Abraham did, like Mary did in the gospel. And that doesn't mean you neglect your responsibilities. It's not what we're talking about. If you have things you have to do, family things to take care of, if you're on the job, God wants you to do those things. But he wants you to remember that he's there. And that could be done momentarily. You know, you could just throw up a quick prayer. Father, I know you're with me. Please help me to get this work done, right? Father, I dedicate this work to you. Lord Jesus, I'm suffering right now. This is a painful experience at the office or at school or taking care of my kids. I offer up this suffering, Lord. I unite it with your suffering. Lord, I know that you're watching me. I know that you see what I'm going through. Please help me. You know, this acknowledgement, these brief prayers, aspirations, if you want to call them, they can remind us that we are in the presence of the Lord. Let's look at the second reading now, St. Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 1, verse 24 through 28. Brothers and sisters, now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ on behalf of his body, which is the church, of which I am a minister, in accordance with God's stewardship given to me, to bring to completion for you the word of God, the mystery hidden from ages and from generations past. But now it has been manifested to his holy ones, to whom God chose to make known the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. It is Christ in you, the hope for glory. It is he whom we proclaim, admonishing everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. You know, when Paul wrote this, he's suffering at the time. It's not a fun time for him. But what he's saying is, I'm offering up this suffering. Jesus, I recognize that you're with me. And I want to unite my suffering with your suffering. Don't be confused. Colossians 1:24 is a very confusing verse. It almost seems like the suffering of Jesus was insufficient or incomplete. No, that's not what Paul's saying. Jesus did exactly what was needed to be done on the cross to redeem us. He did it. His job is complete. But as members of the body of Christ, you and I, as members of the church, we're expected to do our part now in Christ, right? And that whole mystical body of Christ concept, it's very confusing. It's not easy to understand. But know that we all, as members of the body of Christ, have a place, a role to play in the redemption of mankind. In Jesus, we can unite with him, the head of the body, and say, all right, my suffering, I want that to be used for good as well, Lord. I want to save souls in you as a member of the church. And that's when we can offer up our suffering. But that's not going to happen unless we're conscious of his presence and that he sees us and that he hears us. Because we can get so caught up in suffering and difficulties that we forget all about him. So this reminder from Paul is good for us because it makes us aware of the fact that even when we're suffering, the Lord's with us. He knows what we're going through, and we can turn to him and offer up that suffering so it doesn't get wasted. All right, so, you know, I know this requires work, but it's doable. This is something we can all work on. And I'm really glad for the fact that the church chose to package these particular readings together on this 16th Sunday in Ordinary Time to help us remember the presence of the Lord in our lives. Because, look, we live in a distracting world. Everywhere we go, there's distractions. There's a lot of noise, a lot of stimulation, many, many occasions to get, you know, to forget the presence of God as we go through life. Because, again, we can't see him. We can't hear him. We can't touch him. We have to walk by faith and not by sight. Difficult, but not impossible. We're going to see him one day. But right now, in this life, we need to see him by faith. Okay? He's with you. So whatever you're going through right now, I don't want you to panic. You are not alone. The Lord sees you. The Lord is with you. And the Lord is bigger than your problems. Okay? Any questions, Gary@followingthetruth.com is my email address. Head on over to followingthetruth.com if you can to find out more about my work. Thank you so much for tuning into the program. God willing, we'll do this again next week. Until then, I'll be praying for you.